one verse as a starting verse, and that is verse number 22. Book of Jude, verse number 22. Only one chapter. But a lot is to be said out of this little book, the book of Jude. So let's look at verse number 22 of the book of Jude. Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Again, it says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." The book of Jude, again, is a very small book. In fact, there's, I believe, 25 verses here in the book of Jude. The Lord deals with at least two things out of this little book. Number one, in the book of Jude, the Lord deals with apostasy. And He deals with the horrible things that apostasy contains or produces. Now, what does the word apostasy mean? Basically, in a nutshell, the word apostasy means a final rejection of the gospel. Someone who has heard the gospel and maybe even by the looks of the outward man is a Christian. But it's someone who ultimately rejects the gospel and walks away from God. Let me give you an example of an apostate. We know that Judas claimed to be one of the 12. But if you remember, the Last Supper, Jesus said that one of you is of the devil. And we know that Judas wasn't part of the 12. He was an apostate. In fact, for 3 years, Judas was with the Lord in his ministry up until that last little bit. He witnessed the miracles. He heard the gospel just as much as anybody did. But ultimately, Judas rejected Jesus. He was a sellout. He wasn't a Christian. He was an apostate. But also through the New Testament, many, many places gives reference to how that it's hard to tell genuine believers from unbelievers. There's parables in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and one of them is the wheat and the tares. How that in a vineyard or how that in a field there's true wheat that grows. But there's weeds that grow. And in the early stages of wheat growing, it's kind of hard to tell. The Bible says when the blade sprang up, then appeared the tares. In other words, when the fruit sprang up, then appeared the tares. And so when it comes to the book of Jude and it comes to life as we know it now, at this particular time on God's calendar, in the world we live, and His soon coming for us, it's just hard to tell who's of the faith and who's not. Sometimes there are those who claim they're Christians, who have the bumper stickers on their cars, who wear the T-shirts, and listen, but there's not true faith on the inside. And we're definitely not saying that real faith is by works. We know that it's through what Jesus did on the cross, and it's through accepting what He did on the cross as your Savior, and it's His righteousness that is imputed to you, and then He absorbs your unrighteousness. We know that. And once saved, always saved. But there is a crowd that walks away from the faith. In fact, in John 6:66, chapter 6, verse 66, when things were getting hard and there was suffering laid upon Jesus and those that followed Him, in John 6:66, the Bible says, many at that time turned back and followed Him no more. I believe that a true believer has an inward power, not that we won't suffer, not that we won't be confronted with temptations or trials or pains, but true salvation perseveres. True salvation continues on. Someone who has truly met the Lord cannot abandon God and everything that He stands for because they haven't embraced true faith, but they have walked away. They have finally rejected that. And so this book deals in part with apostasy. In fact, look if you would in verse number 12. He describes the people who claim they have Jesus as Savior. They claim they have righteousness. But this verse here in verse number 12 tells us that it's just a mere image. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. It says, feeding themselves without fear. Now notice this. Clouds they are without water. Meaning there's appearance of rain, but there's no rain. There's a cloud there, but there is no content in the cloud. And he goes on and says, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. One of the true testimonies of a Christian is fruit. And so he's talking about trees with that, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And he goes on and on and on. In verse 16, he says, these are murmurers, complainers. If you look in verse number 19, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And so he deals with those who, he deals with the apostasy and the coming apostasy. But then he deals with true believers, those who have genuinely not only professed Jesus, but has possessed Jesus, has genuinely asked him into their heart. Look at verse number 20. He says, but ye beloved. You see, there's a differentiation here. He is addressing those who claim they have Christ, but then he's addressing those who have Christ. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And so now he's dealing with the brethren, the church, the true church. And he gives us a charge here in verse number 20. He charges real Christians. He says, but ye, in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But then verse number 22 is the main charge. It is the goal. Verse number 20 and 21 is what prepares us for verse number 22. He says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And I want to talk to you tonight on that subject, verse number 22, about the difference compassion makes. The difference that compassion makes. And we'll touch back on verse number 20 and verse number 21 in a moment. We're not going to touch on verse number 23. That's a different kind of difference we can make. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some people can be helped with compassion. Others have to have more of a bold stance for compassion, or have to have a bold going after them. But tonight we're going to deal with that of compassion. The difference compassion makes. In the book of Psalms, turn to Psalm 126 for a moment if you would. Compassion really makes a difference. Again, Psalm 126 verse 5 and 6. He says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Book of Psalms 126 and verse number 5. Listen what the writer says here about compassion and the difference it makes. In verse number 5 of Psalm 126, verse number 5, the Bible says, Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, verse number 5 and verse number 6 is in reflection as to the captivity. In verse number 4 it says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And then he talks about verse number 5 and verse number 6. It's given a picture of a farmer. It is given a comparison to one who is sowing and one who is relying on God for something to take place. He says in verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. It has to do, and the picture is that of a farmer who has prepared his field. And now he's going forth and he's planting his seed. He's bearing precious seed. And perhaps there hasn't been a yield yet. There hasn't been any rain yet. The forecast isn't looking good. And so this farmer, the one who is sowing seed and bearing precious seed, is one who is sowing tears, one who is praying for rain, one who is praying for God to intervene. And so he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, notice this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And he's saying there's going to come a time and day where God will send the rain. There's going to come a particular point when God shines his face on you again. He's going to smile and you'll be able to see the sunshine and the beautiful blue skies and the white clouds. The same with the farmer. He prepares his field and then he sows his seed. And day after day after day, he is checking his field for crops. And then eventually, the Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And back to the book of Jude, verse number 22, we see again that compassion makes a difference. The difference compassion makes. He is crying. He is being faithful over this and relying upon the Lord. And I just wonder, is there anybody in our lives that we need or God has put into our lives to show compassion to? When was the last time we cried over that individual? When was the last time we really, really bore precious seed? We brought them before the Lord and said, Lord, please protect them and guide them and keep them safe. I don't know where they're at in life and what exactly they're doing in life. But Lord, we're asking you to intervene and we're acting as mediators. We're standing in the gap as an intercessor on their behalf, Lord. When was the last time that we've done that? You know, it's just the thought that it came across my heart, my mind this week, the whole idea of compassion. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And God has set forth an entire world of people who are crying for help that we can have compassion on. Now, I want to mention three things about compassion tonight. Three things and the difference that compassion makes. Number one, there's the command to care or the command to be compassionate. Again, in the book of Jude, in a time of apostasy, and even today when people are walking away from the Lord, let me just say this, that there's a difference between apostasy and being backslid. We as believers can be backslid, can't lose our salvation. God will never let go of us, but an apostate totally walks away, never possessed faith. And so in a time in Jude's writing of apostasy and in a world getting worse and worse, and even the time we're living in today of apostasy and things getting worse and worse and the love of many waxing worse and worse, God says we are to have compassion. You know, we're the light that's set up on the hill. We have our candles lit by the Holy Ghost, and we're not to put it under a bushel, but we're to put it on a candlestick so that the whole house will have light. And to keep in mind, I'm preaching to me tonight. Preaching to me. Y'all are just getting the overflow, okay? The command to be compassionate. And we're to be compassionate people. In fact, if you'd like to turn there, you can listen or just follow. In 1 John, book to the left, there's 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, chapter number 3. We see that we're to be compassionate. We're to care through deed. 1 John chapter number 3, look in verse number 16. The Bible says, 1 John chapter number 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, if you have the means to be a blessing, be a blessing. He says, in fact, that is faith in action. That is one true mark of a believer, is that someone has compassion for another. And we see that compassion isn't what we say, but compassion is what we do. It isn't what we can say. Oh, as James takes care of this in the book of James, he says, oh, my dear brother, you know, pat you on the back, go and be filled, go and be warmed. We hope you get it straightened out. And you put your big old thick coat on and whip out your big wallet and go eat a good meal, and your brother's walking away, you know, cold and hungry. That's not true faith. I mean, we all at different times probably don't hit the bullseye, you know. Sometimes we don't act when we should act concerning different situations. But true faith will see a brother and will reach out to a brother. And it's through deed and truth, verse 18 says. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Real compassion isn't what we say, but it's what we do. And real compassion will always cost you something. Not necessarily the pocketbook, but real compassion, really making a difference in someone's life, will cost you part of your routine somewhere. I found this out so far in ministry, the years I've been in ministry, that anything that we're going to get, anything I'm going to get done for God is going to have to be the second mile kind of stuff. The first mile is the expected, you know. You go to church and you do what you do at church, and you go home and you pray and you read your Bible, try to be the best Christian you can be. That's first mile stuff. But second mile stuff is when you have to put your agenda on the back burner because you know there's somebody out there who has a need and needs you in their life. Real compassion will cost us something. It will cost us our comfort zone and leaving that comfort zone. But this is a symbol, a sign, a true, genuine mark of someone who knows Christ. In a lost and dark and dying world, for us to be that person who sees people through the eyes of Jesus and not act on it. That's a tough feeling to feel as a result of not acting on it. In fact, it's grieving and quenching the Holy Ghost. So let us be people who not only say we care, but show we care. There's a second thing I want us to notice. Not only there's the command to be compassionate, and we're told that here in the book of 1 John, and of course our verse number 22, verse of Jude. But then there's the cry from the world. We mentioned just a moment ago a little bit about the world and a lost and dying world and how there's a great need for compassion in the world. There's the command for compassion, but then there's the cry of the world. And I want you to turn for a few moments. I normally don't do a lot of page turning, but the more I say that, the more I do. Mark 9. It's a Bible study, isn't it? Mark chapter number 9. Notice verse number 17. I want us to see something specific here in a story of a man and his son who cannot speak, who the Bible says has a dumb spirit, and other things surround that. Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse number 17. The cry of the world. Mark 9 and verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. Notice this, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He says in verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Here we have in the world, but also even in our own hearts at times, "Lord, I believe, but help me believe." There's that struggle from within. And let me just address the world at first, that we have an entire world tonight lost and dying. And I can't say they're all going to hell, because there's many, of course, of us in other churches tonight. So what I'm saying is, those who don't know God, they're crying for help, as this man is, and they're wanting someone to interfere with their life and show love and show kindness. But I want you to notice something in this story. A man brought his speechless son with this infirmity, all these things that surround it, for healing to the disciples, but they could not heal him. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." So these disciples could not cast out this spirit from this man that he had since he was a kid. And so this just escalated the situation. Have you ever went to someone for help or somewhere for help and you didn't get help? I think about the woman with the issue of blood, and for 12 years she had this blood problem on the inside. She was dying, and she went to many doctors and she went to many places for help and was none the better, but she grew worse. Many times in life, not just the world, but us, the church, can find ourselves situation getting worse and worse, and it's not like we don't care. We're trying to find help, and we're trying to get to that place where we can be helped. And so this father could not find help. The disciples could not come through. But we see here in verse number 22, notice the phrase where the word compassion is in it. He says in verse number 22, "Have compassion on us and help us." You see, the son was the one hurting. But it's something about someone close to you that's hurting that also makes you hurt. The son had the spirit. The son had the problem. He had this disability, and no doubt he was hurting. The Bible talks about how that, in verse number 22, the early part, "And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire." Scars from this hurt. And so the son was brought up with the spirit, and no doubt to this point in his life there's scars and there's pain and there's just a lot of hurt. But guess who else is hurt because of their hurt? The father was hurting. And how many times does that happen when someone we love, a child, a relative, a friend, when they're going through something and they're hurting? But guess who else is hurting? We're hurting. We're hurting because we love them. We're hurting because we want them healed. We're hurting because we want compassion on them. So we see that not only the individual was affected, but the father was affected as well. And verse number 22 says that, "Have compassion on us and help us." And something else I want you to notice. When Jesus was talking to these disciples, look at verse number 28. Jesus fixed the deal, okay? He healed the son. But then he went back to his disciples in verse number 28. Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse 28. "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately." It was this meeting. The disciples said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Look what Jesus says. "And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." You want to know why those disciples could not cast out that evil spirit? They didn't have no time with God. Now, I'm not saying that, listen, none of us can cast out any kind of demon or devil, but we can have compassion on people. But the kind of compassion that we have to help people comes not but by prayer and sometimes even fasting. Jesus is the compassionate one. And if we don't have time with Jesus, guess what? We're not going to be that compassionate. That's why many times, even in the church, you'll find people who bick and argue over every little thing. And I'm not saying our church, just saying that in the church world. Bick and argue over every little thing and grumble and gripe and complain. That's not a picture of someone who's been with Jesus. Someone who's been with Jesus comes into a service. Brother, sister, how can I help? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? And you know, everybody has their own personalities, and we're not saying it's all going to be exhibited the same way, but someone who's been with Jesus is ready to be compassionate. Someone who's been with Jesus is ready to reach out. Someone that's been with Jesus is ready to pour out because they're full. These disciples, they said, why couldn't we accomplish this? Jesus said, because you haven't spent time with me. And I wonder, in my own life, some of the people that I allow to get away from me, I wonder, is it because I haven't been spending time like I should with God? I allow life to get in the way. I allow the busyness of life to get in the way. You know, got all these different things I'm allowing to get in the way, but the very number one thing I need to do, as we all do, is spend time at Jesus' feet, absorbing His power, having sweet communion with Him, just like Mary did when Martha was busy in the kitchen. So we see that there's a cry from the world. This father cried out and said, have compassion on us. It got worse. His child was affected. He was affected. Jesus healed him, but He also showed the disciples why they were so rigid and unfruitful. It's because there wasn't any prayer time. There wasn't any time with God. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through tonight. There's the cry of the world. There's the command to care or be compassionate. But then lastly, there's the compassion of Christ. And we mentioned just some of that a moment ago. But we know that Christ is the greatest example of compassion. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest show of compassion. If we're not showing compassion, it's because, if I'm not showing compassion, it's because that I'm caught up in the busyness of life other than being busy with Christ at His feet. Because if we're compassionate, we've been with Him. The way God wants us to be compassionate, that is. We can't care like Christ cared without following Christ. And back in Jude, verse number 20 through 22, we see God is the Lord, through Jude, is teaching us how to develop this compassion. Look, if you would, in verse number 20 of Jude. Keep in mind, great apostasy, things taking place, natural brute beast, people totally turning and shunning the gospel. And now He's addressing Christians on being compassionate. He says, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. This is how we stay guarded and protected and in a place of showing compassion through truth indeed. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He's already mentioned in verse 20, our faith needs to be strengthened. Our prayer life needs to be strengthened. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. We have to operate out of the love of God and look at man through the lenses of God. Like I said on Sunday when we was preaching about by His grace for His glory, the three kinds of love, eros love, phileo, and agape. Agape is God's love. So in order to keep ourselves operating out of the love of God, we have to spend time with God looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's encouragement, looking for Him. He says in verse number 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. We know there's not a period there. Maybe next week we'll talk about this other kind of helping man, the kind that you saved with fear, pulling them from the fire. But these were the ingredients in verse 20 and 21 on how to really show compassion through deed. And again, I start with myself. I start with myself. I prayed today. I said, Lord, help me slow down. Lord, help me not miss opportunity. Help me understand and stay at the place where the main thing is the main thing, and that is that souls, that's people when they're hurting. And hey, I meant it. I prayed it. I'll have to pray it, and I pray it again tomorrow, the next day. But really, it's about souls. It's about individuals. It's about showing compassion. I'll leave you with this tonight. Our little girl, Lily, she went to her first chiropractic appointment yesterday, and you know, he's really not a chiropractor. I guess he's a wellness doctor. That's more suitable title for him. He don't practice chiropractic like everybody else does. He has a certain technique. I'm still learning the terminology on that technique. I walked in that office with her, keeping in mind Lily's 12, and off the get-go, he's like, hey, how y'all doing? Come on back here in this room. He said, and he started talking to Lily, you know, all cheerfully. And this guy, he just had passion all over him. I mean, he had drive. I was waiting to see what he was about to do. I mean, he just had that pull on you and made you very interested. He said, Mr. Hales, I don't practice like everybody else does, popping and, you know, snapping bones and all of that. He says, I work at the bottom of the skull where the spine goes in. And he said this. He said, in the human anatomy of the body, the head never moves. The eyes are connected to the brain, and it's always staying straight. He says, but the brain is where you feel life. The brain is where you absorb life, emotions, physical problems. He says, and the person or the body parts that pays the price is below the head. Everything, the head stays straight, but everything you feel, everything that comes, you know, accidents, anything. He says it all comes through, and your body can be tilted. Your body can be out of line. So he works through that neck in realignment. When we got there, and I knew one of her feet was already off. Her left foot was about like this, and it made perfect sense. For the longest time now, she's been saying, "Daddy, my left foot. I got a cramp in my foot. I got a cramp in my foot." The doctor had these two scales, one for the right leg, one for the left leg. Her left leg was 60 pounds, and her right leg, her left leg, she was putting 60 pounds of pressure. Her right leg was about 30 or 40. And so she's off. Her head is center. That's not the problem. It's her spine. She has scoliosis, of course. And so he adjusted her. He laid her on her side, and he just like that. That's all it took. He said, okay. Stand up, shoulders, they were still off a little bit because of her spine. A couple more times, guess what happened by the end of that visit? Her shoulders were completely straight. Her feet were completely straight. Guess who started sobbing? Daddy did. This man, he's incredible. And I'll go ahead and tell you, Miss Nancy referred me. Nancy Bob, they referred me and referred Lily over there. Miss Nancy's got great help from him. He's a wellness doctor. He is 10% in, I know America, probably, I don't know, all the world. He told me he is a small percentage that does what he does and is successful from it. You see, he works on prevention and not just treating. In fact, he doesn't treat, he does what he does for prevention. And so Lily is going to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for treating. She wears a brace. But along with this prevention, and my faith in God that Lily's not going to have surgery one day. Isn't that right, Miss Nancy? God's going to touch her. I said all that to say this. He doesn't treat his individual. He doesn't treat his patients as numbers. They're individuals. And you could tell it. He called today and checked on us. He said, how's everything going? How's Miss Lily going? Oh, she's doing fine. She's doing fine. Is she sore? I said, no, she's not sore, but I can tell. Her daddy can tell she's walking straighter. He said, I knew you was going to say that. I said, in fact, me and my wife may come start seeing you as well, and maybe you can get me on a, a good wellness plan. I said that to say this, that that's how we are to look at people, not as numbers, but as individuals. And those that are hurting, look at them through the eyes of the Lord. And I'm telling you, that kind of passion and compassion is contagious. I even told him yesterday, I felt like a cuckoo puff telling him, I said, man, I may try out to be a chiropractor, a wellness doctor, you know, on top of what I'm already doing. That's how enjoyable. I mean, the passion is contagious. And so my prayer is that we'll just continue being compassionate. Invite people, invite someone to church this Sunday. Just one, that's all it takes, just one. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We're thankful tonight for the truth of your word. And God, even as believers, those of us who have sincerely knelt and bowed our hearts to the Lordship of Jesus, accepted you, even as true believers, Lord, we don't always hit the mark, and we don't always look at people as individuals, and sometimes we're busy, and sometimes I'm the first to confess of that. But what joy, how addicting it is to put our life on hold for just a moment. A little bit goes a long way, and reach out to someone who's hurting through truth and deed and watch you work your amazing work. It doesn't take much. A little bit of love goes a long way. Help us all do that. We love you for the great crowd tonight, Lord, and bring us back safely on Sunday. Do amazing things like you have been on this coming Sunday, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. To mention before we dismiss, again, it's good to see everybody, and you're dismissed. Have a blessed, safe night.